Before you go to sleep, turn up Colossians 1, verse 18. Colossians 1, verse 18. Now, here is a sentence direct from the Holy Spirit. In verse 18, the last part, that in all things he might have the preeminence. I tell you, that's a sentence written, well, it's all written by the Holy Ghost, but that's underlined by the Holy Spirit. He has come to glorify Jesus. And when Paul writes that in all things he might have the preeminence, then the Holy Spirit is, as it were, cashing in on his ministry. Now, look, this evening, we had better check up to see whether we are more devoted to a cause than we are to a person. Would you like 15 seconds in which to think about that? Are you more devoted to a cause, no matter what the label of that cause may be, and it's probably a very good label, but are you more devoted to a cause than you are to a person? Are you being revived? Tell me, do you think more highly of the Lord Jesus on the 8th of September, 1979, than you did on the 8th of September, 1978? Do you? Does your heart more readily dance at the sound of his name? Do you think more highly of that finished work at Calvary than you did a year ago? Because if you do, I'll tell you something, you are being revived. The more room you allow in your thinking and in your desires and ambitions and your motives for the Lord Jesus to be exalted, the more you are being revived. I remember a lovely incident during the lifetime of the late Dr. Sangster. He had been invited to take part in some interdenominational outreach work. And at one of the preliminary meetings, he'd been asked to lead in prayer. And in his prayer, he included this sentence: Lord Jesus, we don't mind which church is second, so long as you come first. That's a Holy Ghost prayer. We don't mind which church is second, as long as you come first. Well, he didn't come to bolster up any of my individual prejudices. He didn't come to deal with us collectively so that we might present to the world some form of amiable religiosity. That's the right term. No, no. It was a more profound work he came to do. He came to do exactly what we were singing about just now, and you mentioned it. You may just turn back the page. It's in Philippians 1. Or turn over the page, sorry. Philippians 1, no, turn back the page. Philippians 1, chapter 1, Verse 22. For me to live is Christ. It's lovely to sing about. But my, it's very searching, isn't it? Let's leave the word Christ out for the moment and let's just leave it blank. For to me, to live is, well, what? No job? No hobby? No television? No sport? No partner? Your home. For to me to live is my loved ones, my business, which word would you put in if it were left blank? I tell you, when revival comes, the Holy Spirit will enable you and enable me to say, there's only one thing, rather one person in life worth living for. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he shall and he must have first priority. You've got your priorities right. Second thing is, when he revives us, to that extent, there will be implicit obedience. No quibbling, no specifying what we shall do, when we shall do it, where we shall do it. It's what you say, Lord, I'll do, where you send, I'll go. I'll be what you want me to be, I'll do what you want me to do, I'll go where you want me to go. The third thing, and with this I close, there will be utter devotion to Christ. If you were to ask me what I consider to be the most challenging words that ever escaped the lips of Jesus, I would say his threefold inquiry to Peter. Peter, do you love me? Peter, are you sure you love me? Peter, are you very definite about that? Until Peter broke down and said, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. See, there are so many Christians who worship the Lord Jesus. And that's good and proper. There are so many people who admire the Lord Jesus. And that's good and proper. There are so many people who would wish to follow the Lord Jesus. And that's good and proper. But oh, for Christians who will say, Lord Jesus, I love you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And he longs not for the things that we can offer him, but for ourselves. Once there was a missionary, his wife and family, who went to Africa, and before long they contracted a dread disease which was incurable. The missionary died. Shortly after that, their only son of tender years died. And later on, the wife and mother herself must inevitably go that same way. Toward the end, a Christian friend came by her bedside and said to her in a very loving way, "It won't be long, dear. You'll see David." And you'll see Paul. She opened her eyes and looked into the face of the lady who was meeting out consolation. And she said, "Yes, I know. But I'll see Jesus first." My good friends here tonight, this evening, I finished this afternoon by asking you a question. Can I leave you tonight by asking you yet another question? Do you really want revival? Do you really want revival? Or do you want the one who makes revival possible? Jesus, my all in all, thou art my rest in toil, my ease in pain, the medicine of my broken heart, in war my peace, in loss my gain, my smile beneath the tyrant's frown, in shame my glory and my crown, in want my plentiful supply, in weakness my almighty power, in bonds my perfect liberty, my light in Satan's darkest hour, in grief my joy unspeakable, my life in death my heaven in hell." Let us pray. I suggest that these few moments of silence might be an opportunity for us to allow the Spirit of God to search and to reveal and to make us to understand that our whole thinking and that our whole desiring should be focused upon the one who is described as the altogether lovely one. O Jesus Christ, grow thou in me, and all things else recede. My heart be daily nearer thee, from sin be daily freed. Spirit of the living God, we pray that thou wilt do thy work in our hearts. We long that the Lord Jesus should be glorified. in our lives, by our behavior, through our words, that everything may be opened and clear and clean in thy sight. So as we bow in thy presence, come and burn up, we pray, the dross of base desire. Come and let the floods of thy grace, refreshing grace, fill our whole beings. And grant that we may become Christocentric people, thinking in terms of Christ, speaking in terms of Christ, and acting in terms of Christ. That no matter who we may be, we shall be filled with the Spirit of our Savior and Redeemer and of our Lord and Master. Grant this, we pray, and send us revival, and let it begin in me. Amen.